Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. How's Lent going so far?
Lent is going great.
Mine is going great, too. So the next 3 weeks of Lent are packed with rather full-length Gospels. They're some of the longest that we read in the liturgical year, so we're going to jump right in.
So, yes, we are in the cycle A of reading, so the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Sunday in Lent, in cycle A this year, but any year that your parish has RCIA candidates, and the RCIA is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. We read these 3 very long Gospels from John's Gospel. This week at Mass, we will proclaim the Gospel of the Samaritan woman at the well, the man born blind, the 4th week, and the 5th week, we read the Resurrection of Lazarus.
That's right.
Very long readings.
So what I tend to do, a little bit of a spoiler alert to those who are coming to Mass by me, but with these long Gospels, I preach in a much briefer fashion. Speaking of that, one of our loyal listeners, Mark, whom I know, sent in a survey, and I actually saw this a couple of months ago by Pew Research Center. It was actually an analysis of sermons from different faiths, but online sermons. So there's some sort of a tool that they use to analyze sermons that were online. And it was really interesting in that it was kind of an analysis of different words that are used and such, but length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to think about different faiths, who do you think would have the shortest sermon or homily?
So if you are asking, it must be a tricky question, because I would say that in the Protestant tradition, they seem to give more time to the preacher than we Catholics. Mm-hmm. But I also know that we priests have the reputation of being a little longer than we should be sometimes. So I wouldn't know what to say.
Well, compared to any other faith, Catholics are by far the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
So the average sermon, at least online sermons, is 14 minutes, which actually seems a little long.
I don't think I've ever preached.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
So for me, a normal homily would be 7 minutes. And if I have something extra to say, maybe 10 minutes, perhaps.
Right.
It's difficult to tell how long a homily should be. That's typical. Some people can preach in a very interesting way and a very useful way for 20 minutes. And some people may preach for 5 and ramble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think is your average?
Probably about 9 minutes.
The Holy Father has asked for priests to be briefer than we normally are. And some people, I follow these people in Baltimore. They have these homilies that are 15 to 20 minutes, Father White.
Right.
But I never feel that like he's going too long. He repeats things because he wants to connect people from one weekend to the other. But I don't find them long, and he preaches 18, 19 minutes. We really are not avoiding the gospel. let's retell the story. What do you remember? It's the Samaritan woman at the well.
Right.
These 3 gospels, as we said, traditionally were used for the formation of catechumens, those coming to the church for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the origin of Lent. That's where everything comes from. And the first one is chosen because of the symbolism of water.
Right.
This happens. It's an encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman, and how Jesus is able to see the needs of the Samaritan woman, who then goes into town and calls all these people to follow Jesus.
So what I'm going to read from is the Gospel according to John. And again, this is the shorter version. It's chapter 4, verses 5 to 15, and then 19b to verse 26, verse 39a, and then verses 40 to 42. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." There's a lot there. I'm curious what first stands out to you.
For me, the preaching here is that, yes, the gospel is chosen for the symbolism of water, but for me, what is going on here is this encounter with Jesus, no? And we are called to be people who encounter Jesus, the personal experience of Jesus. And I always marvel in this gospel about how many barriers these two individuals, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, need to overcome in order for this encounter to actually happen. Jesus is a male and a Jewish male. The woman is a woman and a Samaritan woman at that. Mm-hmm. It's outside of the town. The disciples leave Jesus alone. It would be very improper for a Jewish male to be talking to a Samaritan woman. The Samaritans and the Jews are like cousins that don't speak to each other, so to speak. Right. So it's an interesting gospel, yeah.
And that interaction there, too, just as she sort of acknowledges that to Jesus. She's acknowledging maybe the improperness or the maybe awkwardness of the two of them being there alone. And there's this just beautiful calm from Jesus, who's just kind of there and maybe looking past the fears, the awkwardness of that communication.
One of the goals of Lent, I believe, or at least what's striking me this year, is how to overcome the temptation of living in our own universe, to be the self-centeredness that seems to be part of our challenging design. And here you see Jesus giving us a way to encounter the other. How do we encounter the other? How do we acknowledge that there are people around us, and that how do we acknowledge the differences in a time that we are polarized? That's true. That society, our fast-paced society, seems to emphasize more difference than togetherness or than unity. How these two characters are able to overcome.
They keep going. I think that's the thing, is they keep going. So us as weak human beings, were we in that situation where there are barriers to overcome, at the very first sight of the barrier up ahead, we would walk away, go in the other direction, or not pursue it. But by overcoming these barriers, acknowledging them, being honest about them, something extremely beautiful happens to this woman and Jesus as they move forward. And as we often say, another situation where someone who's been touched by Jesus goes out and probably touches others as a disciple and an evangelist moving forward. Mm-hmm. That's one of the lessons from Jesus, is to look at kind of the good in the end that we're trying to get to, and not to let those barriers get in the way.
For me, the key was honesty. You see, you mentioned honesty in acknowledging the differences, which is the very honest dialogue these two people have. Sometimes we don't want to hurt people, and then we are not being honest, and people see how fake it can be also.
That's an important point that I wish that we'd appreciate a little bit more. In our desire, or sometimes when we're trying not to hurt someone else's feelings or not to be honest about something, in fact, there's selfishness there, because we want to be liked. You know, that's what you want, is we want to be liked, rather than having a goal in life of doing the right thing. You know, of course, we want to be kind and charitable always, but in the end, our goal is to do the right thing, not to be liked. And that's where we can be dishonest at times in feedback.
One thing is to want to be liked. The other thing is that we want to avoid conflict. That's the other reason. I think we have enough for today. And it's Lent. We should preach by example and be simple and shorter, briefer maybe. Do you feel you have enough?
I think so. There are so many beautiful insights here. And I think we need to, first of all, if you're coming to Mass, read ahead. So this is John chapter 4. Again, you can find the link online, the U.S. Bishop's website, you know, but read ahead. But it's also something that I know I'm going to need more prayer on over the next few days, and to really think about that and pick out a particular direction from this.
For me, it will be the encounter with Christ. How do we do this? And why that's important.
Excellent. So during this Lenten season, thanks for taking some time with this podcast. If you're looking for Mass this weekend, there's some places you can go to find that. MassTimes.org is the national website, and Archmill.org is the website in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. So see you next week.
See you next week, Philip.
All right, take care.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's Learn, the number 2, pray, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.